My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 20th of September 2009, and the time is 10 past 5 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age, and where you've come from?
My name is Jason Flesher. I'm 38 years old, and I come from a small town called Burgess Hill in Sussex.
How long have you lived there?
38 years. It's a really small town, nothing much goes on. Some quite big news actually in all the newspapers and everything. So it's quite fun, but I'll be glad when it's over and I can go back to just being me.
And what do you do there?
I work on a preserved steam railway actually. I'm a volunteer and it's good fun. You know, made lots of friends on the railway. So, yeah, it's a good life.
And who do you live with?
I live on my own at the moment, but I do have a partner and we're looking to find somewhere to live together. Not sure where, not sure when. You know, we can't even decide if we want to a flat or house, so we've got to kind of sort that out before we decide where and find out how much we can afford to pay for rent and stuff.
And how did you first hear about the Fourth Plinth Project?
We were just looking through the web and came across the website, and it was kind of, oh, this looks interesting. So we looked, and at that time I think it was only something like 3,000 people had put their names down. And you know, we put our names down, never expecting for 1 minute to get chosen, thinking, oh, it'll be a bit of a lark, just put your name down. And then we got chosen, and then that's when the panic set in, trying to get everything organised, trying to, you know, get ready. My partner was saying to me for like about 2 months before, have you got everything organised? Have you got everything organised? Yes, I've got it all organised. Have you got your speech done? Yes, I've finished my speech. It didn't really hit until yesterday, coming up on the coach. And like the last kind of 24 hours have just been kind of so fast. You know, you haven't been able to think of anything. You haven't been able to worry. So I'm just looking forward to doing it and getting it done. And then I can just enjoy myself.
And what are you going to be doing with your hour?
I'm going to be talking about mental health. I do voluntary work for Mind Mental Health Charity, and at the moment they've got a campaign called One in Four. So I'll be talking about that. I have mental health problems myself, and you know, I can talk from a sense of experience. And, you know, I think it's about time people realise that actually, you know, just because you've got a mental health problem doesn't mean you can't lead a fulfilling life. Doesn't mean you can't do things like go up on the plinth and, you know, just do whatever and enjoy things as well.
And what does the charity Mind do?
They campaign on national mental health issues. Where I live there is like local Mind groups, and they run drop-in centres, they run social events, they run conferences around mental health. You know, it's just trying to get the facts out into the general public to try and fight this stigma that the press and media seem to have, that if you've got mental health problems you're going to be a mad psychotic axe murderer. And what Mind trying to do, and what I'm trying to do with my time on the plinth, is to say, well, you know, yes, there are people like that, but the vast majority of people with mental health problems are not like that at all. And, you know, trying to challenge the stigma of having a mental health problem.
Have you experienced this stigma yourself?
Not directly, no. I mean, I guess I'm one of the lucky ones. You know, it's not something I shout about. It's not something I put out in the public thing. The people that are really close to me, my partner, my family, they all know that I have mental health problems, and they're all really good. You know, they all understand that sometimes I can be up, sometimes I can be down, and you know, they know when to leave me alone, they know when to talk to me. So, you know, I don't really shout about it because it's not something I want everyone to know, because of the stigma that's been whipped up by the media of, you know, if you've got a mental health problem, you're going to kill someone or do something stupid.
Would you mind talking about your own experience at all?
Not at all, no. I had my first psychotic episode when I was 18. Really felt really quite bad, didn't want to talk to anyone, didn't get out of bed for days, didn't want to do anything, didn't want to go to work. I just kind of shut off and started closing down. I was lucky because my mother realised there was something wrong and she actually made me go to the doctors. The doctor then referred me on to the psychiatrist, and you know, we discovered there was a problem, and they put me on medication. I've been on medication of one sort or another now for 20 years. I mean, I feel that the medication helps. You know, sometimes doctors kind of say, well, it's money, we can't afford to keep you on the medication. But, you know, it's what keeps me level, because I have bipolar disorder, which is you have extreme highs and you have extreme lows. And with the medication, although I still get the highs and the lows, they're not as bad as they would be without the medication. I have tried 3 times to commit suicide, and I've been lucky that I've had people that found me and sorted it out. But, you know, there's so much in current legislation to do with things like care plans and key workers and all of this kind of thing. And, you know, I don't think it really works because it's not taking into account what the person actually wants. You know, for me, I find if I'm getting down, you know, people know the signs. I know the signs. I just take myself off and go for a walk. I mean, it doesn't stop the feelings, but, you know, exercise is one of the best things for me. You know, sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you get put in hospital and you're not allowed to do anything. And it's just a really, I wouldn't say it's a hard life, but sometimes it can be really difficult to kind of cope with the pressures and then trying to live with the feelings of, sometimes guilt can cause problems, anxiety, you know, what's everyone thinking, what am I doing here, paranoia, sometimes it's crippling. You know, I won't go out for like 2 or 3 days at a time simply because, you know, someone has said something to me. Or if I do go out, I'm texting people, you know, someone will say, you fat so-and-so or stuff like that. And then I'm texting people, am I this, am I that, you know. But I don't know, I'm one of the lucky ones in a way, in that I've not been in a secure unit, I've not been in hospital, you know. The thought of going into hospital is the one thing that actually keeps me better than, because, you know, you're treated like a child. You're given medication that dopes you up so much, you know, sometimes you sleep 48 hours straight through. Or, you know, you're put on a secure unit, you're locked in. You know, you're told what to do, you're told where to go, and luckily, I've never been in that situation. and I wouldn't want to be in that situation. You know, I've had friends go into hospital and they've come out and they've totally changed, and it's not for the better. You know, and I've had friends who've needed to go into hospital, who've gone to A&E, and have had the senior psychiatrist turn around and say, well, there's nothing wrong with you, and get sent home, and then tried to commit suicide. So, you know, it's the things that go on in mental health hospitals is quite scary, and I wouldn't wish any kind of mental health problem on anyone. Whatever anyone thinks of me, I would not wish it on anyone.
How have your family been with you?
Well, it's quite funny actually. I can go to see my psychiatrist, and in the early days, you know, I'd go home and he'd get me quite angry, and I'd walk in the front door and there'd be my mum and my dad and my sister, and they'd have builder's hard hats on because I'd be so angry. I'd just literally pick up anything and just throw it, and it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be that I was aiming for anyone, but sometimes, you know, they get it in the head. But luckily lately it's been, I've got a better relationship with the psychiatrist and everything's kind of okay. The family have kind of realised that it was just, you know, the way he was treating me. And we've got a much better kind of understanding. And I think also living on my own, I can go home and, you know, if I have a bad day or, you know, I've had a bad time with the psychiatrist, I can just kick the cat, so to speak. So, you know, it's a lot better since I've moved out.
You talked about the failing of the hospitals. What do you think, in your own personal experience, do you think would be the way forward to deal with people?
I talk to a lot of people with mental health problems, and the biggest thing they say is, you know, there's kind of a lack of communication. You know, the psychiatrists have had all the training, they've read all the books and everything, and they seem to have this idea of, well, we've done the training, we know what's best for you. And it's kind of like, no, actually, I know what's best for me. You should be listening to what I think, and then, you know, somehow try and incorporate it into the care plan or whatever is the next step. You know, for some people it's exercise, for some people it's talking, for some people it's just sitting down reading, for others it's art, you know, but there isn't the money for it. Where I come from, in Mid Sussex, we've had 3 60-bed wards closed to be replaced by 1 60-bed unit for an area that covers approximately 750,000 people. You know, it's all very well pushing care out into the community, but there isn't the support in the community for the more severely ill patients. You know, I've been told that I will very unlikely ever go into the new hospital because, you know, it's the beds are for so many people, I'm very unlikely to ever go in there. You know, and mental health, that's changing. You've got different, what they call sections, under which you can be put into hospital. And, you know, trying to keep up with it all, it's just a nightmare because, you know, it changes from one, or it seems to change from 1 month's end to the next. No one really knows what's going on.
And what would you ideally like to achieve with your hour on the plinth?
If I can change one person's perception of mental health problems, illness, whatever, then I think I've done my job. You know, I just want people to realise that I'm a normal person. You know, you see me walking down the street, you wouldn't know there's anything wrong with me. And if I can change one person's perception from this mad psychotic axe murderer view of things, then I would be happy.
you said it stemmed from the media. Do you have any idea, any personal sort of thoughts on why this has happened?
Well, it's just to sell, you know, whatever. Just to sell papers, just, you know, you never hear the fact that you're more likely to be attacked by someone you know. You don't hear that. You know, it's more kind of exciting if you you can kind of have someone who's had a mental illness and he's a you know, the first thing they do without even bothering to look into what happened, he's a mad psychotic axeman. And you know, it's not only that, for years I would say people with mental health have just sat back and said, you know what, what's the point? You know, why should I even bother to challenge the stigma? Why should I even worry what they say? But now, you know, it's time that we turned around and said, look, actually, you know what? You know, people like Karen Carpenter, Winston Churchill, you know, they all had various forms of mental health problems. And look what they did. I mean, Winston Churchill led the country through its greatest trials. You know, Karen Carpenter, you know, one of the world's, in my opinion, one of the world's best singers, you know. And also there's this thing, I want to kind of explode the myth that if you've got mental health problems, it's just one thing. It's not. Anorexia, bulimia, schizophrenia, postnatal depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, you know, they're all mental health problems. You know, it's mental health is just an umbrella to make it easier to than having to say all those things. So, you know, but one person to change their attitudes and I'd be happy.
You mentioned obviously you don't shout about it when you meet people, but when you do meet a new person, how do you, if the subject arises, how do you deal with it?
I'm open and upfront. You know, I don't hide anything. There's no point in hiding it because, you know, sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, and then they find out that, you know, it's a bit weird, what's wrong with him? You know, so I try to be honest about it because, you know, like I say, I'm trying to challenge the stigma. You know, I'm out there working, I'm out there doing what I want to do. You know, I have a life that doesn't revolve around mental health problems. And for some people it does, you know. But we need to kind of say, okay, you've got a mental health problem. It's not who you are, it's not your label. Your label is Jason, Fred, Joe, whatever. You know, it's not the big thing in your life. The big thing in your life is your family, your friends, whatever. You just happen to have something wrong with your brain that makes you feel awful, or you know, makes you feel so bad you can't set foot outside the door. You know, it's not something that should be seen as a whole person. It's not. It's one little bit, and then there's everything else that goes on with that little bit attached, or it is in my case.
What are your interests outside of work?
I do a lot of writing. I write poetry a lot. I like doing creative stuff, like painting. I like walking. You know, there's a lot of walks that I haven't done in Sussex that I want to do. You know, I want to do a lot more work with mental health. I want to keep fighting to get this, you know, message across that we're not all gonna kill you. You know, the statistics prove, I think I've said, that you're more likely to be attacked by someone you know than someone with a mental health problem. And in fact, if you have a mental health problem, you're more likely to be assaulted, attacked yourself than you are to actually attack someone. So, you know, I just, you know, I like travelling. I like being with my partner, enjoying life. I like coming to London. I like going up on tall buildings. I think that's about it. I can't think of anything else.
When you go on your walks and you do writing, how does it make you feel?
Well, the writing's a way for me to get everything out. You know, it kind of helps to relieve the stress. And if I'm having a particularly bad day, I can just write a story about this person that's having a bad day, put it away, and then I read it and think, well, was I really that bad? You know, I like nature, so the walks are lovely in Sussex, especially this time of year when the leaves are turning. You know, it's just nice to be out in the fresh air rather than being stuck in an office or stuck doing whatever.
And as you know, this project's all about getting a modern portrayal of Britain. If you could you try and succinctly try and sort of describe yourself at this moment of time in your life?
I'm a fighter. You know, I want what I want, and I will do whatever I need to do to get it. I won't take any rubbish from anyone. I won't necessarily accept your opinions, but I'd stand up for your right to say them.
And if you can you try and say where you would like to be in the future?
I'd like to be happy in my relationships with my family, my partner. I'd like to have a nice home somewhere together. Just being happy. Not letting the bipolar disorder that I have get me down, which it has done in the past. And just carry on working and enjoying myself.